Welcome back, guys. It's the sit rep, and actually the last sit rep of 2024 here. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. We got our first major snowfall here, if you can call it that, or our first actual snowfall here in southeast Michigan. I know the west side of the state got more the other day, and we're in December, man. It's full holiday mode. I hope everybody listening to this, you guys enjoyed the Thanksgiving holiday. It was indeed very joyous here in Michigan. The Lions won. I just watched Michigan beat Ohio State, which is crazy considering the rankings and things. And I know some of you guys probably aren't sports fans, but up here in Michigan, it's a pretty big deal. I'm not a Michigan fan, but I am when they're playing Ohio State. So it was a good holiday. Good opportunity to sit down and talk with family and relax and eat a lot of good food. Made sure we got back in the gym yesterday and pay for some of that, even as you know, my wife wasn't feeling that great. It's kind of what you got to do, you know. Sometimes you got to suck it up and go hit the gym, and a lot of times you find out you're actually going to feel better afterwards. But this is the sit rep. If you guys are joining us for the very first time, welcome. This is our opportunity to talk about current events, talk about what's going on in our country and the world. I share my thoughts and feelings and opinions on a lot of those events. We get into some details pulled from different, you know, sources of information and things like that. So some of this is actual stuff that we quote from certain sources. A lot of it is my opinion and my thoughts about what that could mean and what it could trigger, you know, in terms of current events and future events. And sometimes we reference the past events and stuff too. So it's an opportunity to talk about what's going on in the world, which is a little bit of a deviation. If you've been listening for any amount of time here, you know that typically we take the time to sit and talk with guests and do interviews on the pod episodes here. This is our once a month opportunity to do something a little bit different. And instead of sitting down interviewing individuals in different realms of the 2A space or preparedness space or whatever have you, right, we just talk straight up current events, maybe a little bit of politics to get into it. So got a few things we want to jump into on this week's discussion that I think are especially relevant given A, the time of year, B, what's going on, C, what are major actual concerns for Americans, especially as we came out of the election last, or at the beginning of this month, I'm sorry. So before we get into that, I do want to point out that this is a sponsored podcast, you guys. And if you're listening right now, before I talk about our sponsors, you guys, our audience, you are our biggest supporters. So I want to say thank you. We are very thankful for all of you. And if you're listening to this, I want you guys to go ahead and pause it and go throw us a rating, whether you're on Spotify or Apple or Podbean or any of those other great services out there that host us. I want you guys to go give us a rating, give us a thumbs up, 5-star, whatever's going on. You guys enjoy the content, because every little bit of that, even that 10 seconds, I swear to God, it is super, super helpful to, you know, for us to help reach goals and things, and we can't do it without you guys. So I'm going to talk about our sponsors, but in all seriousness, y'all, those of you that listen every week, those of you guys that enjoy the content, promote the content, share it, you guys are our biggest supporters, you're our biggest sponsors, you're the reason why we're successful, and we're very, very blessed and fortunate to have you guys around, and looking forward to bringing you guys as much great content as we can as we push into the end of 2024 and break into 2025. But with all that said, as I mentioned, we are a sponsored podcast, so we're going to start off by saying a big thank you to Custom Night Vision, you guys. Yesterday was Black Friday, or at least the time of this recording yesterday was Black Friday. They had some great sales going on at CustomNightVision.com. You guys can head over to the website, check all of that out for yourself, and you may still be able to catch some pretty good deals on top of their already great pricing. When you look at some of these other companies, other sites out there, everybody, I think, tries to bring a great product to the market. Custom is a fantastic night vision company that brings these solutions to you guys. You're not seeing, you know, weeks and months of lead times. You're not seeing outrageous prices, and you're actually seeing current images of the tubes you're purchasing when you head over to the website and you check it out, whether that's building your own binocular device. I actually just had a really cool discussion with Josh and John the other day about, you know, what's the best bino housing on the market. We were playing with the builder tool on CustomNightVision.com, which is fantastic. You can sit there and you can swap out colors and housings and different tubes and everything, and looking at the numbers, it's an absolutely just, it's a great tool for those looking to purchase their first set of night vision, or if you're looking to upgrade, because so many of us do start with a PVS-14, and regardless of what you're looking for, Custom is the company to take care of you guys. We were customers there before we ever started working with them, and we are super blessed to work with these guys. So whether it's Kevin or Ben or Trevor, those guys, they absolutely crush it. And if you have questions for them, they are there to make this the most transparent buying experience that they possibly can. So whether it's about laser performance or about tube performance, you can absolutely reach out to time over Instagram. You can use the Insight chat function that's built in. It's in the lower right hand corner, again, of customnightvision.com. They're going to guide you through the process. They're going to give you their unbiased opinion on what's the best housing out there for this application, or what's the pros, what's the cons. And if you guys just want more answers, you want more information, they have a great YouTube channel as well. Kevin does an outstanding job with those videos and putting just great information out there. So you guys, if you're looking into buying night vision or upgrading, or you're curious in general, they want to make sure you guys are super well informed. And again, the most transparent buying experience possible. Head on over to customnightvision.com. Check it all out for yourself today and let them know you guys that Prepared Mindset set you. They're just going to take great care of you guys, and they're an awesome company. Super blessed this time of year to be able to reflect back on a lot of these things. And we're so, so happy to be able to work with Custom Night Vision and recommend them certainly to all of you. Thank you as well to 100 Concepts. You guys, their website is 100concepts.com, and they're another tremendous company. You guys probably know them if you're at all connected, digitally speaking, of course, right, to the 2A community, and maybe not. Maybe if you're not connected digitally, but maybe you just, you know, you follow the things, you train with your buddies, you know who 100 Concepts is, and you know who they are as a company. Their motto is do good, be dangerous, live free. They are a very, very based company that's run by some very, very based individuals. So Garrett, Jonah, and Pierce, I'm sorry, those guys do a fantastic job bringing great solutions like their light caps or their night vision caps that they've just released with their ruggedized material that they're now using on some of their light caps. That's a little bit softer. It feels softer, but it's quieter. It's more rugged. It's what customers ask for. And that's what makes these guys so awesome, is they actually listen to what their customers want and what their customers need. You guys don't believe me? That's fine. Don't take my word for it. Head on over to customnightvision.com and check out all their great products and all the updates they've made to things like their light caps, their scope caps, the new hex cap offerings that they're constantly rolling out, and a whole lot more. And now, lastly, but surely, definitely, not least, I want to say thank you to our friends over at mfprecisionsupply.com. And if you guys are looking to pick up an optic this holiday season, maybe some ammo, maybe some magazines, head on over to mfprecisionsupply.com. Check out what they got going on, you guys. So whether you're looking for a scope, red dot solution, like an EOTech maybe, which I know is holographic, but whatever you're looking for from Trigicon, EOTech, SIG, ammo from all kinds of different companies like Hornady, these guys have it. They're real shooters. These are guys that actually go out and they train, they take classes, they want to understand what, frankly, is worth a damn and what isn't, so they can bring to you, the consumer, the best options on the market. They're not going to bring you some weird company optic that, you know, you've never heard of before, or some weird foreign ammo that's going to shoot super hot or, you know, do something crazy in your blaster. They want to make sure they're bringing the good stuff to you guys. Again, it's mfprecisionsupply.com, and if you use the discount code PREPARED10, it's actually going to save you 10% off. I do believe they have a Black Friday sale still going, so if you guys are listening to this, head on over to mfprecisionsupply.com. Check that out and pick up some gear, pick up an optic, whatever have you, because you guys deserve nice things. So super thankful, big shout out for all of our supporting companies here. You guys, without their support, we just can't bring the same level of content to you every week that we do. But let's get into it. All right, I'm going to get out my handy dandy notebook here, just like, what was that? I think it was Blue's Clues. Yeah, I'm just like, Steve, Blue's Clues. I got a notebook. But I did write a bunch of stuff down because that's just how my brain works. Sometimes I'm really good and I can retain information really well, and other times I'm an ignoramus and I can't. So I was doing some research, took some notes and everything. We want to talk about some of the stuff that's going on. Of course, you know, we just had the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope everybody had an opportunity to spend time with family. I do, sincerely. A lot of the sales and stuff, if we're talking about the consumer side of the 2A community for a second, right? A lot of that stuff opened up well in advance, which is probably for the better. I know, I remember last year, Josh and I actually stayed up playing like Ready or Not until midnight, waiting for the T-Rex Arms sale to open up. And, excuse me, we were just laughing and making jokes, cause we got to like midnight and the site, the sale didn't work or something. And then when the site did open at 12:30, it crashed. And, there's just like this remarkable amount of traffic that shows you there's still a demand in the community, right? For quality goods and gear. And certainly probably not the only site that had that issue with a good sale last year. This year, perfect example, right? They opened up their, they used a waved approach or a tiered approach, if you will, right? And certainly a lot of companies I saw do this. So if you were a newsletter subscriber or something, you got early access. And the way that that helps companies, if you guys don't understand why they do that instead of just opening it up to everyone, is, you know, maybe if you have a, we'll just use, you know, easy numbers. I know these companies' consumer bases and customer bases are much, much larger. But if you have a consumer base of 500 customers and your website can only really handle traffic of about 300 orders at once, then you open it up to newsletter subscribers first, because you only have 50 newsletter subscribers or 100 newsletter subscribers, right? So you get those 100 orders out of the way in advance and you can fill those. And then a couple days later, when the holiday rolls around or Black Friday rolls around, right, then you open it up and you have another 100 or 150, whatever have you, orders that come through. So it gives you more time for fulfillment. It eases the burden on your website, because believe it or not, companies do spend a ton of money on these websites, but sometimes just it's not enough. Like, you don't want to put in all this money to it, all these resources, if you will, right, for one day out of the year. But you also want to make sure you have a good customer experience on one of your largest sales days of the year. So as somebody who works in product management as a day job, it's a balancing act, right? You want to make sure you can handle it for, excuse me, guys, geez, the other 363 days out of the year. And then that one day that's super busy, you want to make sure that you're able to adequately support that ramped up volume and that increased traffic. So saw a lot of that going around, you know, certainly Dynamic Principles, which I think they still have some sales going on too. Dan's a great guy. He's been on the pod. You guys can go check out his stuff. His Cantable Mag Pouches are really cool. But let's get into some of the news and some of what's been going on. So not to belabor the point, but, you know, the election was earlier this month. Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States, which I would actually, I have to go look back. I believe there was another president that had that like two-term with an interruption type deal where they had a term, then they lost an election and they came back. I think it happened one other time in our history. I don't know who, but it is exciting because I know a lot of people think that, you know, and given you can put aside your feelings about the government, and I know there's some people out there, oh, it's insane how many people just sit here and beg to be ruled. It's like, well, I mean, we're a civilized society, so there's organized government. It's not a new concept. It's been around since the Greeks and the Romans, so you could probably get off your high horse about it. But at any rate, a lot of people do believe that things are going to get quite a bit better. The economy's already headed in the right direction. Gas is headed definitely like 50 cents a gallon or more in the right direction lately, at least where I'm at. Stock market's doing well. Tensions in the Middle East. You know, it looks like we may actually have a peace agreement between Israel and Hamas. And I've seen some reports that President Trump, that's one of his goals, even before he is put into office, is that he wants that to come to a peaceful resolution. We're also seeing some whispers that there might be a resolution to the Ukraine-Russia conflict as well. And that's powerful stuff, you guys, when just the American election has the influence, right, to make those changes, to see those things altered, right, as we, you know, as the world continues to turn, so to speak. But let's talk a little bit about what's been going on lately. And so I was, you know, scrolling through a couple news sites and things, and I grabbed a couple stories I thought were especially relevant. So the first one I'm going to start with is yesterday, Black Friday. Again, you guys are listening to this on Sunday, so it'll be 2 days ago for you. But Black Friday, there was a shooting at a mall in Little Rock, Arkansas. Right off the bat here, just going to point out there were no life-threatening injuries reported. Apparently, these reports came in around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So if you guys are familiar with Black Friday shoppers, it used to be back in the day. Like, I remember my mom used to try and take us out, like, when we were a little bit older, once or twice. that was before the internet shopping really, really blew up. Not that I'm that old, but, you know, it is what it is. So 2 p.m. in the afternoon, that's actually relatively late in the day. When you look at some of these stores were open at 7 a.m. to let people in to go ahead and start their shopping. Those reports came in of active aggressor at the Park Plaza Mall. Apparently there were two individuals involved. Like we said, no life-threatening injuries, which is always good to hear. But it brings up, you know, a couple important points that, like, man, this stuff can happen. Like, it really can happen. I mean, Little Rock, Arkansas is not exactly a hotbed of criminal activity that I'm aware of, or gang activity or anything like that. Yes, it's a larger city, so I guess there is always the increased potential for violence or increased potential for one of these types of situations to arise. So it shows you, it highlights to you a couple things, and that's that, you know, you need to be prepared and ready at all times, really. So carrying a firearm, and I don't know what happened, there was not a lot of detail that was provided, but carrying a firearm is beneficial. Now that goes with the caveat of, you know, like just fucking be effective. Like, you know, just be able to use that firearm, you know, carry it with you, be effective with it, make a good choice. Don't just carry like a Glock 43, that you don't train with, you don't shoot with, you're not capable with out to at least, I would say, you know, 25 yards. You know, it doesn't do any good. You'd be better off not carrying it and carrying medical with you, which also you should still carry medical. If you carry a firearm, I always advocate to people, carry the firearm, train with it, have it set up so that you're successful with it. So if that means you're using high vis iron sights, because that's what you like is irons, more power to you, man. If you like a red dot, I prefer a red dot, then carry something that is optics ready. Most of the Glock 43s are not, unless you get them cut, in which case go spend the $150 or $200, get a basic optic cut, go pick up a Holosun 407 and slap that thing on there, and then be able to shoot that accurately. Like I said, out to probably 25 yards, I would say you should be capable of getting hits, you know, at that distance. It's not super far, but if you aren't confident at that distance, trying to take that shot, I don't know what you're doing, because a lot of engagements, they point the data, yeah, oh, they all take place within 7 feet or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know that I believe that. I mean, like, yeah, there's probably data to support it, but I don't like basing my planning, my personal preparation off of the average or off the most, you know, the common denominator, if you will. I want to know that if it was a bad situation, so if I had to reach out at somewhat of a reasonable distance, like 25 yards, maybe 30, 35 yards, right, that I would be, you know, capable to some extent. And that's why you see like the Elijah Dickin drill and stuff, which that whole incident, that was at a mall too. And that was, I think, 40 yards. It was 10 rounds that young man dispatched, I'm pretty sure. And I think he hit 8 of them. but I also want to point out, you know, this happened at a gun-free zone. So we talk about this stuff a lot here. And in terms of talking about the election and laws and all the things that come with that old chestnut, you know, maybe we see some of that go away, because one of the things that's already been teased out there is that Donald Trump is going to push for the passing of a concealed carry reciprocity bill, which what that means, for those of you guys who don't know what that is or what that entails, is you don't have to have a CPL license anywhere in the country, you know, or if you have your, I'm sorry, what it would... It could mean is that your CPL in one state is good in every state, or they might actually instate constitutional carry. I don't know for sure which one we're going to get if that effort goes through. My gut tells me the reciprocity, because it still allows the states to, you know, collect revenue off of those unconstitutional licenses that they issue. But at the very least, you don't have to worry about crossing state lines, which opens the door for a lot of weird legislation and a lot of court cases where, you know, states like Illinois that have some of the most restrictive and the most oppressive gun laws in the country, that starts to come into question with some of the things they say you can and can't have, but then your state does. So then maybe there's some cases to help strike down some of that stuff, which I believe Illinois did lose that court case on the assault weapons ban that they have at the state level. So all this stuff actually goes in our favor as prepared citizens, as people that want to carry firearms, that want to be more capable, want to be well armed and things like that. So more to come on that, I'm sure, in future episodes and future discussions, because it's a really big deal. You know, we talk about gun rights, and a lot of people here in our community, you know, they will scream at the top of the highest mountain about how they don't want to deal with politicians, they don't want to engage in the political system. But the same point that I've made before, I will continue to make, is that civilized societies have laws. We have rules. Whether you agree with them or not is, to some extent, in the context of that discussion, irrelevant. They're only going to get better through action, not inaction. Inaction is how we end up where we are right now, where we have red flag laws, we have seizure laws, we have safe storage laws, and nobody likes that. But we got that way because people would not intervene. People would not speak with their politicians. They won't go out and have difficult conversations and advocate to their fellow man, hey, I'm actually a safe gun owner. There's, I don't know, thousands of ways you can go out and get better and be safer without having to, make a legislative, move, right. That would restrict people's rights the way that we have today, where you have to go through a CPL course and you have to shoot whatever drill the instructor sees fit to approve or disapprove, you know, you for your licensing. And then you have to pay every 4 or 5 years or whatever, at least here in Michigan, to renew that. So, you know, I don't know. It only means good things. To me, it only means good things. And I think that if people continue to get involved and actually step up and, you know, give up some of their precious time to be an advocate in the community and talk to their elected leadership, like no matter how much it pains you, if you put on your big boy pants and realize that stuff in this world only really gets done. And that's the thing that kills me. A lot of these people that want to scream about, like, you know, you shouldn't beg to be governed, or that kind of thing. Like, most of the people I've seen say that shit are in their early 20s and you live at home with your parents. And I don't apologize for disagreeing with you. I'm fine with you having that opinion. I really am. I just think that you're going to find that you get way further in life when you're proactive instead of going and, you know, stomping away and pouting and talking about how righteous and more moral you are or whatever, right? If you try to have a open discourse, if you try to proactively engage with people who are in opposition or opposed to how you feel, you'll probably find that you have an easier time of it all. You get more of what you want with less BS, or maybe a little bit more BS, but the point is you still get what you want. And that's the thing that I hope more people see. And I think we're headed in that direction overall as a community, as we start to make outreaches and things. But you know, it's a slow burn. It really is. It takes a long time to get there, but I digress. So next issue here. So Black Friday anti-Israel protests. So this isn't really anything new, you guys, right? These anti-Israel protests have been going on for months and months and months now, basically since, I want to say, the spring. If we think about it, I might be wrong. You guys can fact check me on that one, right? It might be since the spring, but it's been at least 6 months. I know that much, right? Where we had college campuses getting shut down. We had college graduations where they were staging sit-ins and stuff on these campuses. I believe I talked about it on a sit rep back then because of how shitty I thought it was. Because you have kids that, you know, either their parents paid for it, or in a lot of the cases, these kids paid themselves through taking out, you know, ridiculous and unreasonable student loans and whatnot. And their ceremony, their commencements, that's what it was, commencement ceremony, it was to be canceled or put off or rescheduled, which if you're going to school out of state, a lot of people do it, right? You go to the best school for whatever field you want to go into, and you fly your parents in, or they pay to come in, and a lot of times it's a lot of money, hotel bills, Airbnbs, and things like that, and then you have to postpone and move it because some assholes want to stage a sit-in over a conflict, which they have no idea what it really is, what it means, just that the mainstream media is telling them that they should go out in the open and scream and yell about it, right? So for Black Friday, there were several of these protests going on. And this is ironically, it's during international, well, maybe not ironically, but during the International Day of Solidarity with Palestinian people. So major cities, just a few, you know, a few examples here. This is in Boston. This is in New York, Chicago, London, which you may realize from that list are overwhelmingly liberal cities full of Democrats who think that these protests are reasonable. They think that disrupting normal people's lives is going to get them any fucking closer to whatever the hell it is they want. And it's not like, it is very, in my opinion anyways, it is very dissimilar from the protests that we saw during the Summer of Love, you know, right after COVID and everything, when, George Floyd and all that went down, and people are protesting for civil rights and rights of Black Americans and Black Lives Matter and everything. And without getting down that whole rabbit hole of nonsense of an organization and the things they haven't done for their community that they promised they would do, despite the millions that they've raised, that was in protest of things here at home to try and rally for change here at home in the continental United States, which I actually do support the notion of protesting for changes here, because it's here. It's our home, right? It makes sense that even if you're in opposition of it, you understand that we are entitled to those rights for peaceful assembly. We're entitled to the right to protest. And if that's what, you know, it's inconvenient, I get it. And I don't agree with all of it. Just to be very clear, I don't agree with all of it. But fine, I'm not going to get upset if somebody wants to go protest. What I don't like is we got a bunch of freaking suburbanite kids that want to sit here and be, you know, jackholes and scream and yell about, you know, free Palestine. And what it really is, they don't understand what it really is. They don't. Now, what's funny is that this has actually been an observed day on November 29th since 1977, you guys. Since, like, over a decade before I was born, this has been an observed day. And these protesters, they're doing this. I mean, obviously, it's on that day for that reason. I think it very conveniently falls on Black Friday this year because a lot of people or a lot of businesses where people work, obviously, right, are closed on Black Friday. So, hey, you have that day off of work. So what are you going to do with your free time? Oh, you're going to go have a protest. You're going to go be an asshole and ruin somebody's day, either while they're going to work, trying to enjoy a day off, trying to go shopping, whatever the case may be. And a lot of people, aside from just being protesters, which I've seen peaceful protests or, you know, whatever. And then these people are just assholes to everyone, regardless of who they are, whatever reason have you. A couple interesting notes, actually, is they were, all of these protests are urging the Biden administration to cut off support of Israel, which gets interesting when you look into the weeds of it, because Israel is over there fighting Hamas right now. And to the best of my knowledge, we still have a bunch of American citizens being held hostage that the Biden administration promised that they would not rest until those citizens, those souls, those people were freed, which we're at the point now where it's like, hey, are you going to fucking do anything? Because you like disappear from the public spotlight and don't do a damn thing. And now you have people that are screaming for this administration to pull all support of Israel, who's actually the closest ally to the whole issue that can get those hostages back from Hamas. But we're supposed to just, in the name of some, what? Some weird political ideal that you as, you know, a 19-year-old that's never had to work a day in your life and had your parents pay for everything, that claim to know so much more about how the world really works, or more to the point, real or ought to work, right? That's the claim typically, right? You want the United States to pull all support of Israel. And I just think that's a little bit ridiculous. I guess if people understand what's going on over there and they really, really do want to protest, then I mean, my hat is off to you for researching the issues and understanding who you're actually supporting by saying that Israel's bad. You're supporting a bunch of like shitty terrorists. It doesn't matter the ideal you're behind. We can agree or disagree on the ideal. You're lobbying for support of a terrorist organization. That's what Hamas is. So, you know, otherwise you should probably go about things a little bit differently than the mass hordes that are out there trying to disrupt daily life in support of this organization. But no arrests were made. And this is also, just to throw this on there, if you guys didn't see this online, read about it somewhere, right? On Thursday, and this has been going on for decades and decades and decades, with the exception of a couple like world incidents that put a stop to it a couple of times. On Thursday morning, so Thursday was Thanksgiving, obviously, and every Thanksgiving morning we have the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City, right? It's a really, really big deal. I remember I used to watch it in high school because I always used to feature marching bands and stuff from around the country and some winter drum lines and stuff. And I was a total dork in high school and I was really into that. So I used to watch it, not the one we had here in Detroit, because that one sucked, in my opinion, honestly, or at least a lot of the bands and stuff that were featured there, because it's so cold here and everything. They never did anything great. So I always wanted to watch the Macy's one because there were, you know, drum lines and bands and stuff that I knew of that were going to be taking part in these parades. And I really wanted to see them just to tickle my autism at the time. So it's a really big deal. There's a lot of money that goes into all of these parades, whether it's, you know, in Detroit or in New York for Macy's or, you know, whatever. There's a ton of money. Like, just think about the sponsors, the TV time, the floats, you know, people like me and like growing up and my family and families with young kids and stuff, they tune into this stuff on TV. And similar to events like the Super Bowl, obviously this is at a much smaller scale, that advertising time costs a shitload of money. Well, at the parade this year for Macy's in New York, there were anti-Israel protesters that decided to try and block and disrupt the parade, which immediately there was a stop put to that shit. Law enforcement got out there, they got involved, dragged those people the fuck out the way. And you're thinking, like, well, yeah, why not? Because, and here's what makes this interesting is, A, they usually, law enforcement usually doesn't intervene. With a lot of these protests, especially in these big liberal cities, law enforcement does not intervene. They don't get their hands dirty. They don't drag these people out of the way. They basically just stand by to make sure there's no, like, huge fights that break out, and they let them do whatever the fuck they want. What I find a little bit ironic here is that in this instance, because it's the meal ticket in these cities, so you have big companies like Macy's that spend a ton of money and all these floats, all these people that come in from out of town and stuff just for this parade, just like people travel there for New Year's Eve and everything. You have all this money being poured into this, and now that you have this going on and it's a threat to the cash flow, now you have the law enforcement step in and remove these people from protesting. So now it's acceptable. Which just shows how, you know, the double standard works with a lot of these protests, when they're allowed to happen, when they're, you know, quote unquote, mostly peaceful, when they're not. And it's almost always fine, right, that no matter who gets hurt or what gets impacted or what businesses get burned down, right, it's all good until it starts impacting the cash flow of the city. And then it's a thing. So I found that a little bit funny and a little bit entertaining. But it, I mean, it happened. They tried to get on the news and stuff. This has been, and by the way, this whole this day of hold on, let me check my notes here. What do they call this? The International Day of Solidarity, right? I wrote this down especially because I did not know this, and I think it's very interesting. November 29th of 1947, that is, the UN voted on the partition plan of Palestine and created the independent Jewish state of Israel, and that's why. This is also relevant because 30 days later, they have this holiday created. Now, every November 29th, we observe this day. And, you know, the United Nations are the ones that, you know, per what I just read you, right? They're the ones that made this decision. They voted on this. The UN did. They are the one that made the partition and separated and created Israel as its own independent Jewish state. Ironically, a lot of people want to, they stole the land and they did this and they did that. Well, and here's the thing that gets me is that people want to scream for the UN to do more. Oh, you need to send peacekeeping troops to this part of the world. You need to send more supplies and more aid. And here's the thing. The UN is for the most part, like, majority funded, if not almost entirely funded by the United States of America. We are the breadwinner for the UN, which is why a lot of people want us to get out. It's why I believe Donald Trump has made comments around alluding to leaving the UN, because it's just a giant money pit. Anytime there's issues, there's problems, we're the one that ultimately ends up footing the bill. We send most, you know, the most troops, we send the most money, we send the most support, aid packages, all this stuff. It comes mostly from the United States, and other countries look to us for that aid and that support. But when it comes to pony up, because they're obviously much smaller, or don't have the resources or the money or whatever the reason may be, right? They don't want to do it, or they can't do it, or they're afraid their people will revolt if they. I mean, I don't know, right? I'm just making shit up at this point. But it's ironic because a lot of people, you know, threw a fit when Trump talked about leaving the UN, and now. You look at history, the things that UN has done, and it wasn't us that did it. It was the UN that, you know, that created Israel. And a lot of people, these are all just the weird things that happen when people don't look at facts, they don't look at research, they don't look at history to really understand how these things happened. You know, like, if you think that anybody stole anything, I don't know that it's really theft if a group of world leaders got together, United Nations got together, which they all want, everybody wants to be a part of, right? Because that's the issue with Ukraine. They want to join the UN, and, you know, people are saying, no, you can't, we won't allow it, and all this stuff, because then there's protections that come with it. So is the UN a good thing, or is the UN a bad thing? And you see all these conflicting interests, and starts to fly around, and all of a sudden, these conflicts with Ukraine and Russia, and the conflicts with Israel and Hamas, and the anti-Israeli, you know, the pro-Palestinian protesting, and all this stuff, right? It starts to take on a different look. because now that you're starting to really understand and start to see what is going on here, it's not just a black and white issue. There's history here. There's complexity here. It's not just a stop supporting Israel. They stole the land. Give it back. No, I mean, this was done a long time ago. It was a very involved process because the UN doesn't move quickly to do basically almost anything, right? And what do we do? So I don't know if that's going to get better or not. I really don't. The UN, I honestly am not a huge fan of the UN. I think that in the spirit of what it was created for, coming out of World War II and everything, I think they had the best of intentions. I think a lot of good work has been done through them. I think that it's become a dog with no teeth type of thing. You know, UN sanctions and this and that, which is mostly just economic punishment. It's not really anything that you can forcibly do. Peacekeeping forces that are composed of, countries, militaries and things like that from around the world. It's not, look at Black Hawk Down. That's a great, I know it's a movie. I know it's not the most, it's probably not the most accurate depiction of UN peacekeeping forces, but I also know that it's not that far off. So even if we give that a grain of salt and look at it, like, come on, it's not a thing. So at any rate, I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to throw that one out there and talk about that because I think it's very fascinating how the story and perspective can shift just by doing your research, which is something that if you guys have been following us for any length of time, right, you know that we advocate for personal research, making up your own mind, coming to your own conclusions and free thought and all that stuff because it's really easy, right? It's really easy in today's world to just follow what the mainstream media or what your favorite personality or talking head online tells you, or just to follow the simple majority of public opinion. Whoever has the most social media postings or stories or whatever like that, right? That must be the right side. Otherwise, you wouldn't have so many people talking about it. And that goes back to the old adage that the person standing in the room who is loudest is not always most correct. They're just that. They're the loudest, and it's a facade. It's something people use to mask that issue. It's just the loudest in the room, and there's a lot of psychology that goes into that in literal terms. But so, anyway, moving on to the last topic I wanted to touch on today something we talked about a couple episodes back, at least a couple sit reps back, I should say. Right, was the issue in a Colorado town where a Venezuelan gang had taken over a apartment building, right? And the local PD came out and said, oh, no, that's not a thing. And, oh, then people are coming, yes, it is. There's reports of this and that and everything. Well, now it's happening in New York. So same issue we had in Colorado, right? The gang Trend, I think it's Aragua, if I'm probably mispronouncing that. And as somebody of Hispanic heritage, I should probably be much better at that. So you guys can all mark me, down 5 brown demerits for being a bad Mexican. But they're tied to an apartment takeover in New York. So once again, we need to talk about the border security issue, which is obviously high on the list for Donald Trump as he prepares to enter office. He's announced, I think it's Tom Homan is the gentleman. Again, he was the one that you can go back and watch on these delightful videos on YouTube where he torches Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about legal asylees and people entering the border illegally and why people need to use the port of entry to go about entering the country legally. And he schools her. He knows the codes and all and the immigration code and everything. Super smart, Lord Almighty. Super smart man. Knows his stuff. Very passionate about it, and has been in law enforcement his entire career in different aspects and things like that. Working on the border, and this shows you, right, because New York is pretty far removed from the southern border. And if you guys, he may not be a geography major. I understand that. So to explain this to you. Venezuela is a country in South America, which means that if you were to drive a car down through the southern border of the U.S. into Mexico, winding through Central America, you would then reach South America, where Venezuela is a country. So these gang members are not coming up through Canada. I mean, I guess they could fly to Canada and then enter through the northern border of New York, but highly unlikely and would be very irregular if that were the case, right? So it's not just the border states that are seeing this as an issue. I know a lot of people talked about, you know, the election and border states and border security and things like that. It's not just those states that are experiencing this. You're now seeing it in some of our northernmost states, like New York. And it's always these Democrat-run states and Democrat-run cities. Colorado, blue state. New York, blue state, blue city. Huge Democrat stronghold up there. And these are the cities they were busing. Not like they were transporting, purposely transporting, the government was, these illegals up to these cities. And now we're starting to see the impact of a lot of this and why it's such a bad thing. It's not just turning away families looking for a new life. It's genuinely just opening the border and like fighting age males. You know, so like 18 to 30, and I don't know if that's the exact demographic. Maybe it's 18 to 27 or 18 to 40. I don't know. Fighting age males. And now we're seeing this. It's literally an organized gang from a South American country. And this isn't just something that's being thrown out there. There's actual investigations being done. The ties are being made. The connections are being, you know, confirmed and stuff. This shit is fucking happening in the United States. We're being infiltrated as a country by essentially terrorist organizations. It stops being a street gang when it becomes a multinational organization. When you have these organizations operating in multiple countries on the same continent or in multiple continents, you're no longer just a gang. Like, and I don't know what the actual clinical definition is of like a multinational terrorist organization is. But they're kicking people out of their homes, they're taking over these buildings, they're leveraging fear, which is what terrorists do by definition, to control, manipulate, hurt people, right? Yeah, it's happening. Like I said, it happened in Colorado, it's happening in New York. This is a realistic issue now that we have to, as you know, a society, a greater society, if you're talking about the entire continental U.S., because it's not regional, right? Like, Colorado is in the Midwest, and New York is not. So, and I'm sure with the large Hispanic or Latin American population, I should say, out in California, I'm sure that shit's going on out there as well. So, yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem that we have to be aware of, and it's something that now law enforcement has to be prepared to address, which means, yes, we have to go back and funding needs to be restored to agencies and departments, better training, concerted efforts around this stuff. And yeah, that means that we go back to some policing models that might hurt some people's feelings. Like, there's other ways to hold our law enforcement agencies accountable. Broken windows policing, a lot of people said it was super fucking racist. Well, and that may be true to some extent. I mean, anything could be racist with enough effort behind it. But in terms of the explanation, not the actual practice. But if you look into broken windows policing, crime levels went down because police were proactive in those communities most impacted by criminal activity. And if you interview the people who live in those communities when practices like broken windows policing were put into effect, those people were happier about it because they lived there. They were happy that law enforcement was there protecting them, protecting their property, and then property values go up and then everybody's happier for the most part. So, yeah, it may not make some suburbanites happy, and, you know, some people might scream and yell and complain about it, but how else are we going to deal with this? It's not like they're not militarized, at least not in the sense that they're wearing matching uniforms and saluting. Like, it's a different kind of warfare. It's guerrilla warfare. It really is when you think about it. They're dressed like civilians. They dig themselves in. They inundate themselves within the local population. It's going to be a difficult proposition to remove this element from geez guys, I'm sorry. talking this long really stretches me. So but it's a difficult proposition for law enforcement to handle. There's a lot of intelligence gathering that has to go on. A gang task force, I don't know if, and maybe we'll get somebody on the podcast in the future that can talk more at length about this. There's a lot of work that goes into this. There's a lot of surveillance work, and then we have to coordinate efforts between those local agencies that are working to arrest and track down these individuals with these connections and things. And you have to leverage federal agencies because local agencies do not have the power to deport individuals the way that they need to be. So then you have to bring in something like ICE or Border Patrol or perhaps both, I don't know, because it's tied to organized crime now, essentially. maybe that's the FBI as well. And it becomes this much more large, convoluted effort where, you know, you have to have interagency communications, which we talked about when JT was on. We tried to break down what happened with the whole attempt on Donald Trump. Interagency communication, or even better example, 9/11, where, you know, CIA knew and FBI knew other parts. And if they would have actually come together and talked for once, we would have seen what was happening, and we didn't. But I digress. So it'll be interesting to see. There's already, you know, headlines and articles being put out by Newsmax and other outlets that are saying that, you know, U.S. sheriffs are being briefed or prepared or prepped or whatever to help with this, to mobilize in this effort against that. I also saw some stuff, didn't research it, so I don't know how factual this is, that the Biden administration is actually working against the efforts of the Trump administration by further relaxing the standards and the rules and everything at the southern border. They're letting even more people in now because they know their days are numbered. They don't give a shit, and they're letting people in, which, given that the border has already been open and we already had pretty relaxed standards to begin with, I can actually don't have that big a problem believing that to be true, unfortunately. So we'll see what happens with all of it. But it's going to be, we're talking years to walk this all back. Like, what basically took 3 years to fill the country with illegals and bring in these poor elements and stuff, organized terror and crime elements from other countries in South America. Yep, it's going to be a long time to walk this stuff back. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it's handled. The Trump administration will be in office starting in January, but they only have 4 years. And typically with stuff like this, you know, oh, it took you, you know, 20 minutes to F this up. It took us, you know, 20 weeks to fix it. So thinking about that in terms of you had 3 years of poor policy, I don't imagine it'll be a year to fix it. It'll probably be the next decade or so of very, very focused efforts to try and keep this going. And that's assuming that the next administration after the incoming Trump administration is in line with that and doesn't pull funding or change laws or all the other, you know, good bureaucratic stuff that typically rears its head and makes things difficult on those of us that like to be law-abiding citizens and want to live in a country where we don't have to fear for, you know, our life and our safety from these kinds of organizations and people. So that's all I got for you guys. I can't believe I've been going for over 45 minutes. Jeez. This is the sit rep. This is what we do, or I do. I sit down, share my thoughts, feelings on some current events, pull the information from some reliable news sources. So there's a list of them, but interested to hear if you guys have any thoughts. As always, feel free to shoot us a message on Instagram or on, you know, an email, so prepared.mindset.podcast@gmail.com. If you have thoughts, you have feelings, you want to share a comment, or dude, if you guys are listening on Spotify, you can leave comments too. So I would love to hear from you guys. Always interested. And just one more time here, go ahead and throw us a good rating, a thumbs up, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff. Costs you guys very little and helps us out tremendously. We're, once again, just very, very thankful for your guys' support. Super happy to have you with us as we roll into the end of 2024 and push into the beginning of 2025. But that's all I got, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And like we always say here, stay safe out there and work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.